I get so annoyed with the Pittsburgh Public Schools. Every day it's different drama. Now they're begging for bus drivers. What are they, 400 short? They can't transport, what is it, 8,000 students don't have a way to get to school? Nice. Great plan. What else? They're 8,000 computers short. 8,000. So they passed out 20,000 computers. They can't find 8,000. I'm not kidding. What else? 1,000 kids that wanted to learn this summer, that wanted to catch up because they didn't catch up, are sitting at home right now because the teacher said, I don't want to teach. Nah. What else? In many cases, whether you want to hear this or not is irrelevant. It's important, though. African-American school kids in the Pittsburgh public schools are roughly 3 to 5 years behind in grade level of kids in rural schools. Upper St. Clair, Mount Lebanon, Fox Chapel, North Hills. You don't want to hear it? It's your business. I'm just keeping it real. I get so distraught for the parents who care, for the kids who care, because they are up against it, man. And the story never changes. Look, man, I get so annoyed with so-called leaders like Ricky Burgess last week, the city council member, who said, we believe that the achievement gap has reached emergency urgent levels. The achievement gap for African-American students in Pittsburgh in the public schools is almost debilitating for these kids. Really? Hey, Ricky, why did you go to Central Catholic when I did? Why? Why did Ricky Burgess go to Central Catholic? Riddle me this. Because the Pittsburgh public schools have been that bad for that long. We're talking 40 years, man. 30-plus years, anyway. And now Ricky Burgess says, we have an education emergency. Spare me the drama. Just the facts, ma'am. I had to grab someone I trust and a true insider who has true insight and understands the process. And I had to throw this at him. James Fogarty with the A-plus schools. James, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, Marty. How are you?
All right, man. I grew up in Pittsburgh, and when I was a kid, James, the public schools in Pittsburgh were awful. When I was a kid, my parents, we were poor, man. We had no money. But my father worked extra jobs so I could go to Central Catholic. That dynamic, sir, has not changed in 35 years. Has it, sir? Has it?
I mean, I think if you look at the results, this is not, you know, the gap in outcomes and opportunities for black and brown kids in the city has been there for a long time, like long before this crisis of COVID, long before my arrival in Pittsburgh in 2008. And, you know, as an organization, as a parent with kids in our Pittsburgh public schools, you know, I see it as my duty, my job, to try and build hope around what's possible, right? Looking at schools from across the region and even within the city that are doing well, right?
Yes,
by
yes,
black
sir.
And brown kids.
That's true.
Because I hear you, Marty. I too can get to that place of being distraught.
you know,
when I look at sort of all of the challenges facing our schools, especially with the idea of us opening next year, right? You know, will this transportation shortage increase chronic absenteeism?
Sure.
Will it decrease? You know, and some of the things we gotta look at is, like, you know, there was one study done in Woodland Hills. They changed the bus routes from yellow buses to Port Authority. Kids actually showed up more.
Nice.
Because they had more options, right? So if you showed up late and you missed the yellow bus, there wasn't really any excuse not to get to school because you had a Port Authority bus pass. Like, so there may be some silver linings here. I'm not saying, look, I'm trying to be an optimist here.
No, but you're an honest guy. Hey, James, this is why I love you, man. You always speak the truth, as much as it hurts you to tell the truth.
Right.
You know, Ricky Burgess went to Central Catholic for a reason. You know, the union president of the Pittsburgh Public Schools, all of her kids went to school in Wexford, in Cranberry, for a reason, sir. And more than half of the teachers, more than 70%, live outside the district, and their kids don't go to the Pittsburgh Public Schools for a reason. What message does that send, sir? We don't send our kids here. What message does that send, sir?
Yeah, you know, it's not a good one. You know, I understand that folks want to live where they want to live,
yep.
And I'm not trying to tell people, but we shouldn't then deny options to black and brown families either.
That's right.
Right? Like, women, right. Especially, you know, there's a case out of Michigan, there was a case out of Texas of folks, you know, claiming addresses in other districts so their child could have a better shot.
That's right.
Getting arrested and going away because they couldn't afford a house in that district.
True.
Like, that can't, that shouldn't happen.
That's disgusting.
That's fixable, right?
That's disgusting.
Right? Like, we could fix that and figure out how districts could just move money from the site of residence to a place where the family would want to send their child to school.
Right on.
Free
reign. You want to go to Mount Lebanon? Bam, you're in. Here's your
bus
pass.
Yeah, if there's space and there's an opportunity where we could make space, if the funding came along with the child, like, I think we got to start talking about these opportunities
today.
Because the urgency for, look, I'm working on long-term change in a couple schools and trying my best to say, hey, we get it. The plans that have been made in the past didn't include teachers, didn't include students, didn't include families. We're going to include you. We're going to make sure we're meeting your vision. We're going to, like, build trust. That takes time, right? And too many families don't have time. You only got 12 years. If you add pre-K, 15 years of your kid in these schools before they're off on their own. And so we've got to figure out options that work, that don't decimate certain schools so that kids who are in our poorest neighborhoods kind of trapped don't get good opportunities too, right? And that's a trick. I don't have an easy answer.
Hey, how about you give them a voucher, brother? Come on, man.
I mean, look, you know, there are plenty of studies that have shown that movement has been helpful, and there are also studies that have shown no evidence of improvement or worse.
That's true.
They've been used. It's been misused and defrauded,
it's
right?
True.
You know,
we
always worried about people defrauding, right? So I do believe, though, that at the core of all of this is that a parent is the child's first teacher and is the greatest advocate for the child. And so no matter, I'm never going to be mad at a parent for saying, look, this school doesn't work for my child.
Same.
And I want a different school.
Same. Hey, James, hang in there, all right?
Yeah, of course.
One of my favorite guests right here. The guy tells the truth. A-plus schools, James Fogarty. Hang in there. We always hear the test scores between white and black students, and the gap gets wider and wider. So about 76% of black students graduate from the Pittsburgh Public Schools. About 97%, 98% graduate from Central Catholic. About 97, 98% graduate from Mount Lebanon, Upper St. Clair, Fox Chapel. The gap is massive. James Fogarty with the Pittsburgh A-plus program, and he calls him as he sees him. Hey, James, my man, we've been having this discussion for years and years, and man, it just gets darker. And I know you want to be optimistic, but it doesn't seem salvageable. And most folks feel that way, do they not, sir?
I mean, I think there's definitely a narrative in our community that is wondering what do we do?
Right.
Right?
That's right.
You know, I think there is a certain sense of hopelessness because it seems so insurmountable.
It's true.
The challenges, right? And I think what I've found is it's not hopeless. Right? Like,
nice.
There are schools that are getting 80%, 90% of black and brown kids reading at grade level. There are schools within Pittsburgh.
But hold on,
because
I agree with you, brother, but there are also schools in the Hill District that read at 20% grade level.
Yeah, right,
That's,
no, I mean,
that should be illegal, James. James, that should be illegal, man.
Right. I mean, to me, look, and we've had, look, there's a great group of advocates for African-American students in Pittsburgh Public Schools. They filed a suit in 1992 about these issues, right, led by the late, great Dr. Barbara Sizemore. I mean, they did the work to hold the district accountable. And now, you know, we're at this, there was a Human Rights Commission report just 2 years ago that showed where we are. you know, I think it's going to take all of us getting involved, right? Like I'm of the mind. I can understand people wanting to walk away. I'm urging people to do the opposite, right? If you're worried about that school in the hill, either, you know, get together with folks and think about how we could start a new school, or work with those principals and work with the administration to get leadership in there to support high quality learning, right? Like we've got to stop. I think, and I could be wrong. We got to start thinking about improvement.
All right, but let me keep it real with you. And this is why I love you. If there's a problem, and I'm going to make this personal, in the Mount Lebanon schools, because I go,
Certainly. There's
1,200 parents, man, at that meeting. Yep. It's like a damn football game. In the Pittsburgh public schools, I know this for a fact, folks don't show up. More show up for football games, midget football games, in neighborhoods than they do for parent-teacher meetings. You got to get parents caring, sir.
Well, I mean, yeah, but caring about what? I mean, I throw it back to how do we engage families, right?
Nice.
Like, there's so much. If you're disrespected, maltreated, and not engaged with, like, or you're told, you know, you're not doing right by your kids, like, why am I going to show up?
Nice.
Right?
Hey, are there
like,
really 8,000 missing computers? Is that true?
You know, I'm reading the same news you are, Marty.
Wow.
You know, missing. Here's the other thing, though. We know that there's a bunch of students that are leveraging their computers with other outside programming throughout the district.
Yeah.
So of that 8,000, I couldn't tell you because we've got a great group that works with refugee students that's working out of our office right now. They have all of those kids have their Pittsburgh Public School computers to do this program that's not a Pittsburgh Public School program, but to do an outside program. The district did do a good job with that. But you're right. I don't know. I have no clue where they are, what happened. You know, it could be a case that you have 8,000 today. You get back the school year. Most of them are accounted for because kids get back online.
Yep.
They do stuff. But it could be that they're gone, right? And, like, to me, the fact is we've got part of what we have to do in terms of transparency and accountability, say, as a community demand, okay, what happened with those dollars? What happened with those resources? And as we put out new resources, how do we make sure that they're invested in the right places? I mean, I always look at this example, Marty.
Hey, man, I want you to – could you have time? Can you hang?
I can hang for 5 minutes, yeah.
I can hang for
another session.
Right,
I'm sorry if I interrupt other
guests.
No,
please, you're my man. We have these things called commercial breaks, and they're 40 minutes long on radio these days. Hang in there, brother. I love this guy. I really do. He's important to hear. Marty Griffin, talking about your education at Pittsburgh Public Schools. When I was supposed to go to high school, obviously, the choice was Peabody or Central Catholic. We had no money. This is the truth. My father worked two jobs, and he went to night school at Pitt. We could not afford to go to Central Catholic. I went to Central Catholic. You know why? Because decades ago, Peabody sucked. Just the truth. Here we are 30-plus years later, and we got the same scenario in the school system, which raises the question, can it ever be fixed? And I get so annoyed with politicians like Ricky Burgess, and I like Ricky. We go way back. In fact, he went to Central Catholic. But when they hold a news conference and say, we are having an emergency, education emergency in Pittsburgh. We are passing legislation so that we can close the achievement gap between Pittsburgh schools and other schools. Come on, man. Stop at the rhetoric. James Fogarty of the Pittsburgh A-plus schools always tells the truth, always speaks the truth. This silliness about we're passing legislation to improve the education gap. Come on, James.
Hey, that's, I mean, you know,
it's
look.
It's rhetoric, man.
Look, there certainly there's rhetoric there, but I think what we've had is a system where the schools have acted alone.
I agree.
The city has acted alone.
I agree.
And there's been no communication, partnership on an ongoing basis, right? There's been things here and there. Tom Murphy, I mean, look, our organization was founded when Mayor Murphy got the great, late great Elsie Hillman and others together to say, what can be done about our schools? And A-plus schools was created in that moment of crisis. You know, that was 17 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
James,
right?
But James, come on, man, keep it real. It hasn't changed that much in 17 years.
Oh, you're exactly right. That's why I'm changing my strategy, right?
What is it though? You said something before the break where you kind of got a little bit defensive with parents because I said in districts where they show up, the kids perform. In districts where the parents don't show up, they don't. Why isn't it the parents' responsibility? Because at the end of the day, sir, if mom and dad ain't pushing you, turn on that damn light and read. You ain't reading. Not at my house. I didn't read unless they turned on the light and said, read.
Look, parents are a critical part of the education equation. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And how we treat parents in our different systems, whether that be healthcare,
whether that be housing.
You're right.
You're right.
You know, like, why would we, you know, we add all this extra stress for poor people, right? I mean, I would encourage, if anyone ever gets a chance to do a poverty simulation, the folks at Catapult, it's a great local organization, they do one every now and then. You see how hard it is to keep the $5 you've made, right?
Sure. No, you're right. I agree.
Especially when you're on the lower end.
It's
harder when you got less, right? And if someone who's grown up, you know, in poverty, as you said, like, you know, it's harder for your folks. Doesn't mean it's impossible, right? It doesn't mean that, like, there isn't an option for families. There are, right? And, I mean, as our organization works, we work to try and, you know, get parents the information they need to make good decisions about where to send their kids to school.
But hold on. You kind of keep dancing around this. But I think you're telling me that you think parents should have freedom of school choice, James, which I believe wholeheartedly.
They do. Look at it. Like, we have how many magnets in this city? Over 60% of the families, black or white, are making choices. White families are just choosing private schools at a higher number than black families. But black families are choosing charters. I mean, most of our charters are black and brown.
It's true.
You know?
It's true.
And our magnets are the same.
It's true.
Right? So, you know, what's funny to me is, like, when we talk about choice, it's like we act as if it's, like, either choice or no choice. We already have choice. It's already here. It's been here since the inception of our country. Like, I think what we have to do is start to say, can we increase the number of good choices?
I agree. No,
right?
I love what you're talking, man. But I don't want to lose you here. But so they got $200 million sitting somewhere they don't even know how to spend. And I subscribe to the theory that throwing money at it hasn't worked so far. Is that accurate, sir?
Yeah. I mean, I'm of the mind, if your system is broken, it's like, you know, if your toilet doesn't flush, you know, and a plumber comes out to fix it and it doesn't get fixed, would you keep calling the same plumber to do the same thing?
Nice.
Right?
Nice.
You got to fix it. You got to change the system. I think the opportunity is, you got $200 million. What are you going to do to change the system?
Right.
Significantly. Right?
Tomorrow.
How you staff, how you support kids. You mean, there's nothing to say in this. The ESSER money, you're allowed to give money directly to families.
Nice.
So they can go get tutoring support. So they can go pay for childcare.
Smart.
Yeah, you can do that.
See, I love your attitude, man.
We can fix this. Marty, this is the thing. I hear you. I'm both angry and feeling the urgency, but, like, I also know it's not like there's someone coming to rescue us.
It's true.
We're it. We got to fix it ourselves.
Yeah,
you know, we made the mess. We got to clean it up.
But because what happens, brother, if you don't, here's what happens. Cities end up with poor people and old people, and that's the damn truth, man.
Yeah.
And rich people send their kids to Shady Side Academy.
Yep.
And that's not the way it should
be. We can do way better. And we've got the money to do it. So let's get after it. Marty, keep calling me. I'm happy anytime to come on and talk education with you. I think we've got... There's a good conversation we can have.
Let me help you do what makes it work. And all you got to do, man, send me any email, any info. I'll jump right in the middle of it. I can get people together. We can help you, man. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it, okay?
Much obliged.
All right, my man.
Much obliged.
Thank you.
All right, you take care.
No, that guy gets it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.